haven't seen these things before. Actually, if you're working with the right categories, it's not such a strange thing. It's quite similar to things we've already thought about, except for this map Z, which is very odd for us. I mean, this seems very unnatural mathematically. It makes mathematicians upset. Because it comes from the physics that deliver it. So the main thing to think of, I suppose, is that the objects of the big Dirac category, these are topological brains. And what it's saying is that if you've got a stability condition, then you've got a canonical way of breaking up all the topological brains into pieces, which are these GDF brains. So this collection of triangles is actually unique. So that's the definition of a stability condition. And what I want to do is I want to now consider the set of all stability conditions on a given category. And I hope that will give me something which looks like the modified space of scalar structures. These filtrations of objects were kind of unique, well, are unique. So that means I can define the biggest phase of an object and the smallest phase of an object to be the biggest and smallest numbers, the biggest and smallest phases which appear in the Z composition. And I can also define the mass of an object to be the sum of the masses of the BDS bits which you break up into. Right, so this is going to be some positive number. Oh, sorry. And then this actually defines a metric on the space of all stability conditions. Just a metric as in a distance function. So this is not some differential thing, just a distance function. What this means is that if I have some BDF frame E, which is stable in some stability condition, and if I move to a nearby point in the stability condition, well, okay, it may not be stable anymore, so it may break up into some brains. But if I look on the plane of this, so here's ZB, so this is a drawing of a complex number, ZA and ZB, these angles have to be very small. Right? So ZD can decompose into these two guys, but their phases have to be highly constrained. Okay, so this gives me some mass topology on the set of all stability conditions. Okay, and there is some extra condition which I'm not telling you about, locally finite, which is something about no infinite chains of decay. And so I can make some space with this topology. And there's just this tautological gadget which says that if I've got a stability condition, I can forget all the subcategories and just remember this central charge, which, remember, is just a map from here to C. And this is just a vector space. Okay, so I have some topological space with a map to a vector space. And Mike Douglas's great intuition was that this map is actually a local homeomorphism, although he probably wouldn't have expressed it. So what does all this mean? What does this theorem mean? It means that we have a map from standard D to this vector space. And the idea is that where the central charge is. And the idea of the theorem is that if you deform the central charge, then you can lift this deformation to a deformation of stability condition. So what that means is that you can redefine the classes of BPS brains by the deformations of this central charge. And this is exactly what Mike Douglas kept was going on about in his papers. That as you deform this map there, you get this behavior where brains may become stable or unstable, but you can always still define the class of stable objects. But from a math point of view, this is great because it means that this space is a locator compact manifold, right? Because it's just locally homeomorphic to this vector space. Okay. And when I say locally homeomorphic, of course, the image of this will be some open subset, some interesting open subset of this. It won't be the same. And just some technical points here. So this growth and decrease, or I think it's called KD, is rather badly behaved and usually infinite dimensional for the manifolds you're interested in. So, well, there's a much easier thing to do here, which is what we do. We just insist that this map Z passes by this Turing character. Okay. So that's what I was doing here. I was insisting that the map was just a function of the Turing character. So the Turing character of the sheep on the curve is just a random degree. So I was just insisting that it was linear on that. And then because this is finite dimensional, I get a finite dimensional complex manifold. And that's what I'm going to be interested in describing in the next talk. So I'll give two examples in the next talk. Hopefully more explicit if we kind of easier to understand what's going on. Let me just finish by saying what happens in this elliptic curve case. Because you can't see from the picture. Really. So we're looking for this. So basically we want to map Z of E between this form and the strip of the lambda mu C. And you can show that lambda and mu both have to be non-zero. And it's in fact, I mean, this map from Z2, which is the map from Z2 to C, has got to be given by an element of the unit plus 2R. So if I just write the columns of lambda and mu, I'll get a matrix of, if I break lambda and mu into real parts, I'll get some matrix. And the fact that this plus means positive determinant, that's a result of the fact that this diagram had an orientation. Remember, all the poms were going in a particular direction. So, in fact, you get that sound effects are more interesting. The universal cover of the spectrum. Which is maybe not so interesting, but what is nice is that we should always mod out by these symmetries. Because it's always mod out by symmetry. And this is one of the symmetries is the shift function, which basically takes the equation from this universal cover. So you get this answer, which is of course the C star model over the model of the curve. So already this is some sort of mirror symmetry type thing coming in because the elliptic curve is self-mirror, and this is the modulized space of complex structures on the mirror. So this is kind of a miracle because all you're looking at is a very simple-minded thing here. But actually this continues. If you work out the example of a K3 surface, it's much, much, much more difficult. But the answer is basically of the same sort. If you take stability conditions on a K3 surface and model out by this, you get the modulized space of complex structures on the mirror K3 surface. So you get the mirror family of K3. So there is definitely something interesting going on. But we certainly don't understand it very well. Okay, stop that.
But this thing you got that at the end there, is that the string EK the moduli space?
In this case?
Yeah.
Well, what's this C star bundle? So, no, I mean, the string EK the moduli space should just be this. That should be some section of this C star bundle. And I'll try and explain about that at the next talk. It's not quite true that the space is the first condition, but these quotients should be the string EK the moduli space.